Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, don't worry, Adam Sandler. We'll talk about that water, that that high-quality H2O. It ain't that high quality of H2O to be charging that much. Man, people in the city of Billings, if you've seen your water bills lately, what in the world? I had a friend, I think like a $1,200 water bill. It's like, okay, I did not use more water this year than I did last year. What in the world is going on here? We'll talk about that and much more, but first, let's start with this. The city of Billings and Yellowstone County have entered into an agreement to address significant public safety concerns and jail overcrowding by building a short-term detention facility. Now, obviously, jail overcrowding is a big topic of concern all across Montana. We were just chatting with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter about that and other issues last week in Great Falls. But great to have City Council Member Jennifer Owen from the Billings City Council in studio with us right now. Council Member Jen, great to see you. Thanks for joining us here. Yeah. Talk about this. When I saw this press release that there's now an agreement for a short-term detention facility, I was very pleased to at least see that news because, yeah, it's like we don't need to build the Taj Mahal. Let's just do something to deal with the crime situation.
That's right. This is something that I have been fortunate to be able to work on for, gosh, I think 2 years now to try to get this in place. And what this facility is really going to do is return the tool of arrest to our frontline police officers and sheriff's deputies. Right now, because of the overcrowding at Yellowstone County Detention Facility, far too many people are committing crimes and getting notices to appear. And then they just don't appear. This facility is designed to hold people until their initial appearance in front of a judge. So it's not pretrial detention. That's what the Yellowstone jail is for. This is to hold people overnight. This is the cops find you, you're committing a crime, you're a threat to public safety, you're going to go in for 24, 48, maybe 72 hours until you see a judge. And then we expect most of those people will be released on bond or GPS. Some may be remanded to the full jail, but this is designed to interrupt that cycle of violence where people are committing multiple infractions in one night because there's nowhere to hold them. The county today breaks ground on this partnership between the city and county, and that means that about a year from now, 13 months from now, we will have the ability to arrest people the first time they commit a crime and hold them until they see a judge.
This is what we heard from local law enforcement, you know, folks that I had talked with, is that when we had especially this youth violence that was taking place and some of the gang violence, is that the kids that were committing or the young adults that were committing these crimes, they were already on law enforcement's radar.
Absolutely.
And so what ends up happening is if you don't, you know, give people immediate consequences when they commit that first crime, well, then the message goes out that they can get away with it, so it escalates. And so this is designed to stop that escalation.
That's exactly right. So our officers are reporting that they are seeing the same people multiple times in a night and people with multiple outstanding warrants, and we're just hoping that maybe this time they'll show up. It's not working, and this is a chance for us to change that cycle.
All right, quick break. We'll talk more about this short-term detention facility right after this, and then we'll also talk about these outrageous water bills. What happened there? And is an audit forthcoming?
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Lawmakers recently bestowed their highest honor on a group of black female scientists and mathematicians known as NASA's Hidden Figures. They received the plaudits for their contributions to space exploration. Katherine Johnson, Mary Jackson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Christine Darden received the distinction for helping develop the space program during the space race. While working at a segregated department at NASA's Langley Research Center, the four women were known as human computers for their mathematical abilities. They calculated projections for key projects, including the 1969 Apollo 11 mission, which allowed the U.S. to first land on the moon. Johnson also played a key role in helping astronaut and future Democratic Ohio Senator John Glenn become the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962. Glenn didn't trust orbital calculations done by a computer, so he requested that Johnson run the computations by hand. The book Hidden Figures and movie chronicled the women's experiences and the discrimination they overcame. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies and some areas of smoke and haze today. High temperature readings range from around 73 in Bozeman to 80 in Billings. For tonight, clear skies with low temperatures in the mid and upper 40s. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for areas of smoke and haze, otherwise with sunshine. Highs stay in the upper 70s in Bozeman to low 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Look, we've got the most important U.S. Senate race in the country here in Montana. And you're seeing what the TV stations are putting out. You already saw what the major newspapers are putting out. A bunch of fake news media that's just propping up liberal Senator John Tester and doing whatever they can to be biased against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Here's the deal. Facebook doesn't want you to see the truth. Google doesn't want you to see the truth. If you want to get our Montana Talks content that we're delivering, download the app on your smartphone.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. With the holiday shopping season on the way, many financial experts recommend that you use caution when you're offered a credit card by your favorite store. Most of the time, it makes sense to say no, according to Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate. They found that the average store-only credit card has an average annual percentage rate of 30.45%, which is much higher than the average APR of 20.78% for all credit cards. The APR is how much interest you'll be charged if you can pay your balance in full every month. If you are being offered a store credit card, ask for something with all the details in writing to take with you to review. Oftentimes, store credit cards are tied with a promotion such as 0% interest for a year or a discount on your purchase. Before signing up, find out how much interest will be charged if cards aren't paid in full and any late or penalty fees. A lot of times, retail cards charge tremendously high interest rates. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to have Billings City Councilmember Jennifer Owen in with us this morning. Normally, we would have our back to business segment here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal, but she's enjoying the day off today. But then it worked out, so we can sneak in Jennifer Owen here to talk about really this important issue of jail overcrowding, which really is, it's an issue all across the state of Montana. Look, we're growing, we're increasing in population. And then on top of that, we got the Mexican drug cartels wreaking havoc in the state because of John Tester's wide open southern border. Jen, talk about how interesting this is that you have the city partnering with the county to make this happen, because apparently that doesn't happen too often.
It doesn't. When I came on city council, I was elected in 2021, came on in 2022. It was the first thing I heard. We had just passed a public safety mill levy to do what the city can do, which is hire prosecutors and hire police. But what we don't do in cities is run detention facilities. The state law puts that in the hands of the county. And so we kept hearing from people, well, we've hired these police officers, but they have to have a place to put people. So we have worked and reached out to the county to develop a partnership where the city actually just says, listen, we can't run a detention facility, but we can help you pay for it. So we took some of our marijuana revenues and some of our property tax revenues and entered into a 50-50 cost share with the county so that we sent about $2.7 million to them to construct this facility that they will operate so that we can now begin holding people before their initial appearance. I want to be clear, this doesn't replace a necessary expansion of the jail. The jail is too full. And you said it exactly right. This is a problem all over the state. Population is growing, and we have to keep this community safe. What this facility that we break ground on today will do is hold people immediately until they see a judge. And then we'll continue working with the community to fund, finance, and construct a larger jail.
So how many beds are we talking about? What's the cost share agreement between the city and the county? And because I'm also thinking there's probably folks elsewhere across Montana that are listening in, yeah, thinking, well, hey, maybe we can do this in Butte. Maybe we can do this in Great Falls, et cetera.
So our agreement, the estimated cost was about $6 million, and that will get us somewhere between 70 to 90 beds. It will the city said we will fund construction only, and then we expect to be able to put people in there without paying operational costs. That cost will belong to the county. So we are funding construction. It's about $2.7 million cash. We paid over 3 years. And we have worked hand-in-hand with the county on the design, on the operation. We've just started having meetings about how we ensure that people who go in get out so that we can continue to turn over those beds and have immediate arrest available to our officers.
One of the frustrations that folks have had is that, hey, we know there's all this marijuana revenue coming in, and simultaneously, look, agree with it or not, like this fact or not, it is a fact that when you have the legalization of recreational marijuana, you do see an increase in various types of
Absolutely.
Crimes, in needs for mental health care, a whole bunch of stuff. So you were telling me before we kicked off the conversation this morning that you're taking revenue from the marijuana money to apply towards this.
That's right. So I get this question a lot. What are you guys doing with marijuana tax revenues? It's not as much as people might think it is, but we have put it generally into three buckets. One of them is part of the construction of law and justice facilities at the new city hall. That's a short-term designation of money that will end soon. We've put a significant amount of it into crime prevention programs, trying to prevent future drug use and substance abuse issues. And then we've taken another portion and put it into the short-term pre-arraignment facility with the county. And you really hit the nail on the head. What we are seeing in this community, I don't think people understand how bad the drug issue is. It's marijuana, it's meth, it's fentanyl. It is plaguing our community. And so part of having this pre-arraignment facility where we can immediately arrest people is increasing chances for our community partners to do diversion programs. Let's not incarcerate people who really just need to be in treatment, but let's have that tool of arrest to incentivize entry into treatment.
And hopefully you address it earlier on instead of waiting several years down the
That's
road
right.
to where they've got so many problems on their hands that how do you now kind of rewind the clock at that point, rewind the tape. All right, speaking of Butte, we've got a caller on the phone lines, Cameron in Butte. Cameron, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, good morning, Aaron. I was just calling in mainly to make the suggestion, one suggestion to immediately fix the problem that applies to pretty much any town when it comes to jail capacity, because it's a very big issue here. There are car thieves, arsonists, and worse, drug dealers just out free, and there's, you know, they're not getting arrested, and it's really criminal. But the solution would be to reinstitute work crews like they used to have a day shift and a night shift, and you just double the capacity of your jail without having to build anything new or change the facility, and they could generate their own revenue. I mean, there's 140-some able-bodied guys at our jail here, and they're sitting there wasting away and could be out there. There shouldn't be any lawn uncut or any garage unpainted, you know. I mean, everything.
Keep them busy, and then they're not just networking with other criminals while sitting behind bars, too, right? Yeah, Cameron, thanks for the call. Interesting question. By the way, he mentioned arsonists. There is a question right now if there is an arsonist on the loose in Butte. They had four structure fires in a single day, within a 12-hour period. We've got a report on our Montana Talks website right now. 30 seconds before the break, Billing City Council Member Jen Owen. We can talk more after that.
Just really want to make sure the public understands that what we're doing today is a piece of an overall solution to criminal justice. We will return the tool of arrest, work with the community on jail expansion, and then make the criminal justice system operate more efficiently by moving cases through courts faster.
Well, and I know there are some state legislators that are talking about some ideas like what Cameron mentioned in terms of, you know, better programs within these facilities,
That's right.
whether it's jails, prisons, halfway houses, etc., to better put folks to work while they're in these programs. All right, stand by.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Many people think this year's election might come down to one state, Pennsylvania. That makes its nickname, the Keystone State, even more fun. Pennsylvania could be the final piece, the keystone, that secures victory for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. Our latest Fox News Pennsylvania survey shows the race tied among likely voters, 49% each. Here's how that happens. More Pennsylvanians trust Trump to handle immigration by nearly 20 points. More trust Harris on the issue of abortion by the same margin. And while Trump leads on handling the economy, Harris is equally seen as better on helping the middle class. Neither candidate has a clear advantage when voters are asked who would bring needed change. Plus, while fracking is an important issue in Pennsylvania, that doesn't necessarily make it decisive. Among those favoring fracking, one-third support Harris, while two-thirds back Trump. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies and some areas of smoke and haze today. High temperature readings range from around 73 in Bozeman to 80 in Billings. For tonight, clear skies with low temperatures in the mid and upper 40s. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for areas of smoke and haze, otherwise with sunshine. Highs stay in the upper 70s in Bozeman to low 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Monday, October 7th. That will officially mark 1 month until Election Day. 4 weeks later, that Tuesday is when the election will take place. Massive election here in 2024. Trump v. Harris at the national level, the important U.S. Senate race here in Montana, Supreme Court elections, and much more. We're going to have guests join us on the show as we head into the election, but really, we want to keep phone lines open for you as well, because the best part of the show is when we take your phone calls on Montana Talks.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Animal rights activists lost a lawsuit in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals based in San Francisco. Several activist groups who sought to impose sweeping changes to the Environmental Protection Agency's concentrated animal feeding operation rules were dealt a blow last week. Recently, the National Pork Producers Council participated in oral arguments before the Ninth Circuit, successfully urging the court to reject the lawsuit. At the hearing, the Ninth Circuit expressed frustrations and concerns with groups like the Food and Water Watch's approach and Candor. In its decision, the court made clear the EPA's preferred approach to regulating livestock production to study water quality issues is the appropriate path for EPA and does not warrant throwing out decades of established law. The pork producer stated that the lawsuit sought to use the court to upend livestock production across the nation. They added that by attacking core notions of due process and fundamental civil rights, animal rights activists sought to put pork producers around the nation out of business. Good demand was seen also this past week at the public auction yards in Billings for their first Friday feeder special of the fall. Prices for 5 to 5.5 weight steers, $290 up to $308. 5.5 to 6 weights, $276 to $287. With the 6 to 6.5 weights, $276 to $288. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, so both Yellowstone County Commissioners and Billings City Council members will be present at the groundbreaking later this morning. This new short-term detention facility apparently will be next to the existing Yellowstone County Detention facility. So no, this is great news to see how folks are working together to try to address the crime problem. I had one of our listeners reach out to me and say, Aaron, we've got people that we're recruiting to fill jobs in Billings, and maybe they live in Bozeman right now and costs are crazy, but they don't want to go to Billings because they just hear how bad the crime is. Crime is bad, but crime's bad all over the state. I mean,
it is.
You've got drug cartels, as our Bozeman friends would tell you, you've got drug cartel operatives wreaking havoc in the Gallatin Valley and in Bozeman right now as well. So this isn't something that's just specific to Billings. And also, the sad part is really it's certain neighborhoods and certain areas of Billings that are the ones that continue to be punished by and large by this ongoing criminal activity. Which, oddly enough, sometimes those are the same neighborhoods that vote more overwhelmingly for Democrats that are typically against public safety and things like that. Anyway, I digress. What are some of the other things that stand out to you about the importance of this short-term detention facility?
Well, I think it's really important important, as you said earlier, Aaron, that we have immediate consequences for infractions. So our officers are seeing the same people multiple times in one night, and they find that person, and that person's got multiple warrants. At that point, they're not taking the criminal justice system seriously anymore, and we need to help them make better choices, and that means immediate incarceration. But again, we just want to hold them until they see a judge and then get them out in the community on GPS, on bonds, so that we're not crowding a jail even more. So really, I hope the public understands that this is part of a systematic approach that includes holding people until they see a judge, making cases move faster, and ultimately expanding the jail, because this is a complicated puzzle. And what I can tell the public, and what I'm very excited about, is that we are meeting city, county, state, probation and parole, legislators. We meet every other week to work on these issues and move them forward as a system, because we have to do better in Billings. Billings is the, you know, it's the leader of the state, and we have to be the safest community. And there is a multi-jurisdictional commitment right now that has been going on for well over a year to address these problems systematically, consistently, and with the urgency it deserves.
Well, and I've also been pleased at the state level, because part of the challenge has also been with our overcrowding jails has been the fact that you've had people that have already had, that have already been sentenced, that have been awaiting a, yes, a space in a prison. And because of our crowded prison space here in Montana, that for several years was a problem. But thankfully, Governor Gianforte, the Department of Corrections, and especially Republican legislators have said, hey, look, even if we don't have the space here in the Montana prison, hey, let's contract space down in Arizona. We've got to put these people behind bars. That not only helps with the crime situation, but it also helps with the jail overcrowding situation at the local level.
Absolutely. And can't give enough of a shout out to Department of Corrections Director Brian Gutkin. We were having a meeting here locally to say exactly what you're talking about. How do we get these beds at YCDF where people are just waiting transfer to the state? How do we get it moving? Gosh, we should ask some questions to the Department of Corrections. And the very next week, Director Gutkin was here in Billings at the table with us working on solutions. So this really is all levels of government working together to try to make Billings the safest community in the state, and that is my commitment.
Yeah, of course, former sheriff of Gallatin,
right,
County as well, Brian Gutkin. So, yeah, great to hear, and not surprised to hear about his responsiveness on that front. This was a headline from Amy Niles' report for the Billings Gazette a few days ago. Billings utility customers call for accountability and an audit of the city's new billings system. There are some people that got water bills that were over $1,000. Sounds like there's a few different issues going on here.
Yeah, the utility billing conversion process has certainly not gone the way anybody would hope. There are multiple factors at play here that have really frustrated the public. The first is, I think we tried to do too much at once. We knew we needed to change our billing software, but we also had some rate increases that we needed to implement. And unfortunately, with hindsight, we picked the worst time of year, the summer high watering season, to do it. And then we had problems with the conversion, which meant people were getting 60 or 90 day bills when they're used to getting 30 day bills. And all of that resulted in some real frustration and anger among the public, and I completely understand. It's the reason that I asked for an independent audit. We know that we need to earn the public's trust back, and we need to have a third party come in and look from the start of the process all the way to the end. The decisions that were made in public works by the city administrator, by city council, we need to look at the software, we need to look at the conversion, we have to fully analyze this and show the public if we made mistakes or show the public what we learned.
Because you had some people that they got $1,200 water bills, so this sounds like they maybe received 2 months or maybe even 3 months worth of a bill. But meanwhile, you have a new company doing new billing software.
Yes.
I think that's the question a lot of people have, was did the city pick the wrong, or was the software somehow messed up that inflated everybody's bills?
And that's what we need to learn, and we need to do that externally.
All right. Back in 60... which is okay. So here you have people who get this massive water bill. Now, maybe it was 2 months, maybe it was a 3 month bill. So yeah, the sticker shock when you're used to paying, you know, once a month, there's that. But then there's this apparent software issue. Were there problems with the software? Billings City Council Member Jennifer Owen, you're saying that's why you requested this audit. You want to have an independent audit to make this determination. Well, what about in the meantime? What about people who can't afford that $1,200
right,
water bill on top of the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation that everybody's being hit with right now and everything else? I mean, should the
city look at pausing bills for a little while and not charging people? Or, I mean, what can be done if this was a mistake on the city's part?
Well, I think what people should know right now is there will be no late fees assessed and there will be no water shutoffs. So we understand that, first of all, people want to have their accounts reviewed, and they have had their accounts reviewed. You can call Public Works. You can email your bill to utilities@billingsmt.gov, and the Public Works staff will review and get back to you. I've been copied on some of those conversations where it's my constituents, so I'm seeing the work they're doing to look at individual bills. So people have individual concerns. They absolutely want to get their questions answered before they pay. I have asked some questions about the impact of people who are on, like, auto pay, because that's the thing that has really upset me, is people have said, you know, I didn't know I was going to have an $800 bill, and when that auto pay hit, now I can't pay my rent. And that's something that I've asked, can we look at how we handle that. So if people are getting unexpected bill amounts, they're not jacking up all of their other bills that they can't then pay. So I think what the public should also know is that we're moving very quickly on an independent audit. That scope of work is being developed now. Council has asked to see that so that we ensure it's robust enough to get the public the answers that they need. But at this time, I think what I would encourage people to do is, if they have questions about their bill, please call Public Works or email your bill to utilities@billingsmt.gov, and let's work through their individual concerns.
All right. Well, let's see if we can sneak in a couple of calls here. Or Jen, can you stick around after the next break? She'll stick around because we got a couple callers on the phone lines. Ben in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, very quick. Number one, I never do auto billing, just for the reasons that you spoke of, Jen. Another thing is, I had a piece of property that was stolen and reported it downtown at the police department. Came in twice in 1 year. Within, they actually recovered the property. I didn't get notice until 7 months later, and I'm still seeking just a measly payback on what I put into this piece of property for $200. What should I do?
All right. So he had stolen property. They located it, but he didn't get word until several months later, I guess.
I guess I would urge him to follow up with the Billings Police Department in that specific case.
And then they can always, if they're not getting response,
they can absolutely reach out to me.
Get a hold of you.
Of course.
Or a council member, or, you know, in his particular area as well. Okay. We've got Ken in Billings on the phone lines as well. Ken, stand by. We'll start with your call right after this quick break here. And then phone lines are open for you as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's jump, as promised, right into the phone lines here. And thanks to Billings City Councilmember Jennifer Owen for sticking around for a few more minutes as we have some callers on the line. We do have the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, any other topics under the sun, you can give us a ring right now, 406-294-0970. I've got a bunch of stuff racked and stacked for you as well here this morning. But first, let's go to Ken in Billings. Ken, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, good morning. Those lack of transparency on the department of whoever did the billing for the water department, because they previously used to show us the different tiers and how much each tier cost. And then on my April or my May bill, it actually still had that. And then on the next bill that I got, it had the tiers on there, but it didn't have a price underneath how much they went for. And then on this latest bill that they jabbed me for $450, they did not have any tier recognition on there, let alone a price of what they're actually charging per tier. So it's, they're billing us in back safe completely. And then the people at the water department, they acted like they were deer in the headlights when I brought that up. They're like, oh, surprise us. Like, I'm sure they haven't heard that from a couple hundred other just us citizens here in Billings. But they raised our Tier 1 rates by a little over 11%, and then the Tier 2 rates, the 11,000 gallons to 32,000, went up 12%, and then Tier 3 went up 11%. So then you add that on top of hitting you with the two hottest months of the year. But there's the acting director, Debbie something or another, with the city, and then Jennifer Drury, the deputy director, I think she's the one that supposedly did this study and took it to the city council. So our city council needs a little bit of accountability and to be held responsible for this crap as well.
All right. Well, Ken, thanks for the call. Yeah, lots of good lessons learned there, ideas coming out of Ken and Billings as well. In fact, the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, normally we'd have Evelyn with us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, but she's enjoying the day off today. She says she has a headline, "The Hottest Topic in Billings," and she writes this: "The biggest topic of conversation in Billings right now is water bills." So there you go. So your thoughts on what Ken had to say there?
Yeah, can't disagree with any of it. I think we have seen people who've had bills printed without previous month's usage. You know, there's always that chart that shows that. And for some people, that's been blank. Other people, like Ken says, have been missing information. And he's 100% right. This is not a question of, you know, pointing fingers. Everybody owns a piece of this problem. So I think we at City Council fully understand the public's frustration, at least I do, and that's why I think at this point we have to have an independent audit for every part of it, everything from the initial decision to pick this vendor all the way up to the decisions that City Council made, which in some cases do quite frankly include rate increases. All of those things need to be assessed, and I think no one is exempt from scrutiny at this point.
You know, it was fun. I can't remember what Friday it was. I think it was the day that I was out getting some military service members out on the lake. I took the day off so we could support this retreat for the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association here in Montana. So I'm driving out to the lake, listening in on the show, and I think David Noble was filling in, and then George Blackard was in on a Freedom Friday, and they got to talking, you know, about, you know, random news of the day. But they were like, "Ah, who was that city council member? Who was that woman from the city council in Billings? And what a great thing she did. Oh, miraculously, she finds millions of dollars within the budget already that they can dedicate to public safety." And I'm like yelling at my radio, "It's Jennifer Owen! It's Jennifer Owen!" But I guess I could have sent him a quick tweet. But I was driving, so
yeah,
I didn't want to tweet and drive.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
But I say that to say that, look, as we're talking about what are very Billings-specific stories here, seemingly they can apply all, like Cameron in Butte, that young man. I met him in Butte several years ago, and he called in, or no, he joined me. We were doing the show live from the Butte McDonald's there on Harrison Avenue, and he was the one who first made a great point. And if you got to run, don't let me take up too much of your time, Jennifer, but he made a great point. He's the guy who called in and was talking about, you know, jail needs in Butte. And as I mentioned, we have a headline on our Montana Talks website right now asking if there is a mad arsonist on the loose in Butte, because they had 4 structure fires in a single day, which is pretty notable, even by Butte standards, according to Tommy O'Neill with this write-up. In Billings, firefighters recovered a body from a downtown house fire. There was also more shootings over the weekend as well. But what Cameron and Butte put on our radar was, he said, he made the point that, you know, whenever these environmental groups go in, they not only, you know, file lawsuits and work to shut down, say, a timber project or the aluminum plant in Columbia Falls or a coal plant, not only do they sue to shut it down, they sue to tear out all of the infrastructure,
right?
Because they don't want these jobs to ever come back online ever again. And so anyway, that Cameron Butte always has some great insight.
Well, and it's true. We do need to invest in infrastructure that allows economic growth in the community, but we also have to be responsible. So I have heard rumors in the community that I want to dispel, that the reason that we are struggling with billing issues or that water rates were raised were to pay for public safety. And that's categorically untrue. That's illegal, and we don't do that. We have infrastructure needs. We have real infrastructure problems that cost people a fortune when we have a stormwater break or a water line main break. So and that water floods your home. That's expensive. And so we need to invest in the infrastructure that grows our economy here in Yellowstone County. But separate and apart from that, within existing budget resources, we were able to dedicate more to public safety, and City Council voted, thankfully, this year to keep our property tax mills below our cap. So Our taxes are a little bit higher than they were last year, but not as high as the full cap. So we were able to make investments in public safety. We are not using water revenues to do that. We are using general fund dollars within existing budgets, kept mills low, and now we just need to tackle this infrastructure issue. We do want to have the resources to not have a lot of deferred maintenance or infrastructure that gaps that prohibit economic growth. But we also know that people are struggling. And so part of that independent audit is going to be looking at our rates, our billing system, and making sure that we're only doing what's necessary to keep our engine going and not overcharging the public.
You know, another random question for you here, or not so random. So we just, the mayor of Roundup just had a big Support Montana Coal rally in Roundup. Two-thirds of that Bull Mountain Mine workforce lives in Yellowstone County.
That's right.
I mean, millions and millions of dollars that also flows through Billings because of that coal mine. The Stillwater mine, these Green New Deal policies by Joe Biden, John Tester, and Kamala Harris is responsible for the layoff of over 700 workers now. I mean, and I would just love to see more local leadership stand up and speak out in support of these mining jobs as well. I know the city council is a little bit majority too far left still, but whatever we can do to get out and show support for these mining jobs, I think is so critical.
It's essential to our economy. Hundreds of Billings residents work at Stillwater Mines, so we're going to feel that. And in addition, lots of our small businesses are contractors at the mine. They're providing HVAC services or other types of services. Heavy equipment dealers in Billings are going to be impacted by this. So we are part of our regional economy, and I agree. We need to stand up for our incumbent industries because that has always been what Billings does best. We're the backbone for those. We're the engineers, the architects, the financing for all of those incumbent industries around the state. So if we don't stand up and say, let Montanans do what Montanans do best, Billings will suffer right along with our rural neighbors.
Well, that's what I would love to see, just like the you know, Signal Peak and the mayor of Roundup did this Support Montana Coal rally, a couple of Fridays ago. Let's do a Support Montana Mining rally in Billings or something like that. You know, we had Count on Coal rallies in the past, but just show support not just for coal mining. Let's show support for copper mining. You know, our friends from Butte, our friends from White Sulphur Springs, our friends from the Stillwater Mine. Let's support every single one of it because we fully know it that American energy and American mining is under attack right now by our own federal government.
Yeah, it's really tragic. I think we absolutely have to do more to ensure that every Montanan has access to these good, high-paying jobs. I mean, gosh, the folks at the Stillwater Mine are making the kind of incomes that will be very hard to replace. We're going to destabilize a region if we don't stand up and protect these jobs. And you'll come MC that rally for us, right?
You know it. And I'll have my coal shirt on that I got earlier this summer up in the Flathead. How much are you hearing that people, that business owners in Billings are sitting back thinking, what's going to happen in November? I've heard that a large chunk of businesses are holding on to cash because they're afraid of what's going to happen in November. If things don't go the right direction, we could be in even bigger trouble.
I think election year politics always made people nervous to make long-term investments. But right here in Billings, I will tell you, I think the much bigger driving issue is what's going to happen with public safety. Can we turn the tide? Can we make this the safest community in the state of Montana? And I think that's what I hear from business owners the most is we're experiencing property damage. We are experiencing vandalism, all these petty crimes. Someone's got to turn the quality of life in our neighborhoods around, and that's what we're going to do.
And meanwhile, if you're just trying to build housing or build a new business, not only do you got to deal with the petty crimes, you got to deal with the petty regulations at the city level too, just to try to build something.
Well, we're going to work on that too.
All right. Well, Jennifer Owen, Billings City Council member, great to see you as always. Thanks for your time.
Aaron.
All right. Quick break. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970.
Revolutionary artist Pharrell Williams invites you to Piece by Piece, a first-of-its-kind Lego movie event.
What if we told my story with Lego pieces?
Let's do it.
Discover what it takes to build the greatest hits with Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake, Pusha T, Gwen Stefani, and Snoop Dogg.
I was always a damn gangster, but you brought out the fun in me.
Oh, yeah.
Piece by Piece.
Get tickets now for Piece by Piece. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Directed by Morgan Neville. Only in theaters October 11th.
Fox News commentary.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is stepping in to relieve some of the pain of the dock worker strike. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts ad-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Trey Gowdy, the Fox News Rundown, Will King, Brian Cooney, and so much more. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com for all the details. The Fox News Rundown. A contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
The dock worker strike will inevitably wreak havoc on the supply chain, making life more difficult for American consumers and especially those struggling in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is once again stepping up to help. He announced he will deploy resources to Florida ports impacted by the strike to ease the strain. Through an executive order, the Florida National Guard and Florida State Guard will be sent to critical ports affected by the strike to maintain order and, if possible, resume operations. DeSantis said his state has the responsibility to do everything it can to keep supplies flowing. And regardless of how you feel about the strike, it will undoubtedly hurt the American consumer. Once again, Governor DeSantis is stepping up to lead and fill the void of an absentee federal administration that is failing to meet the moment. If only all leaders, including those in the White House, were as steadfast and as proactive as Governor Ron DeSantis. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Guns and ammo are still legal in Okeechobee, Florida. The town in South Florida has drawn the ire of Second Amendment advocates as of recently, with Hurricane Helene coming and states of emergency being declared in a number of Florida counties. Okeechobee, the city, began posting signs saying the police chief, acting as emergency manager, was stopping sales of guns and ammo for a period of fewer than 24 hours. That prompted a lot of phone calls to Governor Ron DeSantis' office. End result is the order had to be rescinded. But the order was based on a real law, one that might have been misapplied. Florida's statutes do permit the governor, during a state of emergency, to suspend arms sales if violence and defiance of law enforcement are underway, which there wasn't in this case, though. And those are your bullet points.
6-201-6263.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I need to go back and just play a soundbite from our conversation with Gary Perry. You know, as we were talking with Billings City Councilmember Jennifer Owen, and, you know, kind of threw in, you know, we need to have a rally for Montana mining. Because, look, it's so great that that Colstrip has been rallying for coal and that Roundup has been rallying for Montana coal. But we got to rally for all of our mining. I mean, look, this Bitigary, this liberal judge Bitigary, who's running for Montana Supreme Court, she has ruled on behalf of the radical environmentalists against Montana mining. So again, if you're in Butte, America, the mining city of Butte, don't vote for this liberal justice. She is against your jobs. She's against your union jobs. She is bought and paid for by the radical environmentalists. Who do you think is funding her campaign commercials right now? Meanwhile, you've got her opponent, which is Judge Dan Wilson, one of the sons of Montana. He stood up for freedom. He stood up for Montana small businesses. When former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock and his lockdown lawyer, Rafe Graybill, we're going around poking Montana small businesses in the chest, ordering you to shut down. Judge Dan Wilson stood up for our Constitution, stood up for what was right, and said, no, this is a blatant violation of our Constitution. You can't come in here and order these Flathead County businesses to shut down. Meanwhile, you've got this liberal Judge Bitigary, who delay against Montana mining projects. She is going to be yet another blank check for these radical environmental groups. But the soundbite that I was looking for here, as we were talking with Gary Perry, this was Friday morning. Yeah, it was Friday morning. No, it was Thursday morning. All right, I took Friday off so I could get back in time for my son's football game on Friday. Thursday morning in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, if you guys missed it, we caught up with Gary Perry, the a state lawmaker out of Colstrip, Montana. And here's part of what we talked about, because for those of you who may have missed it in that early 6 o'clock hour, I made the point that, look, you know, this has to be a political conversation.
Montana, but be political. Everybody wants to sit back and pretend to be nice and pretend to be bipartisan. But look, one party is trying to kill Colstrip. One party is trying to kill these mining jobs in Colstrip. One party is anti-mining, and another party is standing up for these jobs.
So, that's right. Yeah.
Look, this November, it's very clear. If you're in Colstrip, Roundup, you got to vote Republican, maybe even for the first time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and when you look at it, I've actually tried to get Tester even to come down and talk to us. He won't even come to Colstrip. He's that against our mine and coal in Colstrip. I don't care what he's telling people. Look at his voting record. Everything that he's done is anti-coal and anti-industry for that part of the state of Montana. And absolutely, it's wrong. And he's with it. You're right. The Biden administration, the whole anti-coal, kill coal, and they're focusing on Colstrip as the number one target in the entire Northwest.
Again, John Tester is one of the most powerful senators in Washington, D.C. right now. He could have used his power to stand up for Colstrip, to stand up for Montana, but instead he stood in lockstep with them. Schumer, Kamala, Joe, and the rest of the crew. Full audio, by the way, of that conversation. Go to MontanaTalks.com. All right, we are running short on time here. I got to trim it up a little bit here so we can get into the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Phone lines will be open for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I got a bunch of messages on the Montana Talks app I got to get to here as well. Speaking of trimming up, I trimmed up earlier this summer. I had a wedding to go to, and then we got family photos done. Jennifer Brown, photographer, by the way, great job. We got some family photos done. I was so thankful that I did my tune-up with Billings Last Diet before we got our family photos done. Because, you know, then you trim down, you get right back in shape just with a quick tune-up through Billings Last Diet. If you're looking to trim back down, or if you've got a lot of weight to lose, check out BillingsLastDiet.com. Go check out the team at Billings Last Diet, because that's the program that works.
Democracy 24.
Vice President Kamala Harris highlighting abortion rights at a campaign event in suburban Atlanta.
When Donald Trump was president, he hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court. The Court of Thurgood and RBG. With the intention that they would overturn the protections of Roe v. Wade, and as he intended, they did.
Harris mentioned the deaths of two Georgia women who, according to a ProPublica investigation, were denied or delayed access to potentially life-saving medical procedures as a result of state abortion restrictions. Here's what the mother of one of those women told the vice president at the Unite for America 2024 forum hosted by Oprah Winfrey.
I want y'all to know Amber was not a statistic.
Abortion opponents insist voters should not blame deaths and injuries on laws restricting abortion, but on abortion itself. In Atlanta, John Hanseri, Fox News.